Blog Talk Radio.
Rogers Athletic Company, where the good get better,
because it's the equipment that we use in Enterprise. Why pick Enterprise? Because they will pick you up. Yes, yes, y'all. We're rocking four quarters, y'all. And I'm about to give it to you just like this and just like that, because you know how we do. We talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly here on Four Quarters of Coach Lee. So let's move on and get this party started. And it's the kick. As you guys know, I love kicking the ball deep, making the other team have to go, 90, 80, 70 yards for a touchdown in the first series. And like I said, we go deep here on the football because we talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly. So let's move on. Quarter number one. Quarter number one. Let's talk about, is any press good press? Is any press good press for women's football? And I'm going to use my experience of coming from the music industry and our philosophy starting in the mid-80s. Yeah, I'm dating myself a little bit. I am dating myself, but hold on 1 second. Yes, ma'am. All righty. I'm coming. All right. Yes, I'm dating myself a little bit, but I was a young cat when I started off in the music industry. I was about 14, 15 years old with the music industry. And where I'm going with this is, you know, a lot of music out there, recording artists got press, good press, bad press, was better than no press. And right now in women's football, we're at the state of we're really not getting any press. And so, again, is good press, I mean, is any press good press? In my eyes, yes, because it got to put us on the map. Am I telling you to go out there and, you know, and turn over a train or wreck a boat or something like that to get some press? No. I'm just saying we guys got to get out there and get some press, be it a fascinating story about, you know, one or two of your players, be it an interesting story about what they do for a living, be it about their accomplishments on the actual football field or off the football field. Am I asking us to go and murder somebody? No, not even close. Am I asking to, you know, go out there and be a daredevil or go out there and run on the football field butt naked or something like that? No. But again, any press is good press. And that's been my philosophy. I've always was press driven because, again, my job as a marketing director for music industry was to find a niche for my artists, be it the style, be it the look, be it the new age music, the new rap music, the new R&B, the new jack swing. We gave it a name because it was something that we can market. And that's one thing that, you know, we as women's football teams and owners and players and coaches and owners, did I say owners? We have not been able to do to the fullest. Hold on 1 second. I got to deliver something real quick.
Talking to myself, as usual.
Here we go. You gonna need some more bags? Okay, I'll bring them. Anyway, I'm back. So again, sorry about that. I'm just laughing. I just had a birthday party going on in one room, and it is a madhouse in there. But again, going back to the press thing, gotta find a niche, you guys. You know, it shouldn't be one or two teams driving the industry for women's football. I know my team is one of the leading teams with gathering press information and gathering stories and stuff like that. But you got to find something interesting on your team in order for the news or for someone to come out and even, you know, and do a story on you guys. And then how I came about the topic tonight was, I'm not in front of my computer as of yet, but I'm going to get there in a minute. There was a couple of issues with with the team starting up and lost. And I'll get more as I get closer to my computer. If I need to find something real quick, and if I can find it, it'd be nice. But if I can't find it, oh well. But yeah, you know, the press teams got in the newspaper because they were bickering and fighting amongst each other because they were one team that came out of another team, and now the B team is saying that this team is using, you know, their playbook and all this other stuff. So of course, the media sees that as a nice bickering session, you know, and that's what you're gonna see. You know, that's what the media wants. They want the negativity. They want something that people are going to read. You know, people don't want to know, oh, there's a new football team in town. Yeah, that's only going to work for your first year. But what about year two and year three? You know, so, again, team in Iowa, I don't know how much is going on in Iowa, but they're figuring that, hey, this is newsworthy. This is newsworthy. And we should push the issue. And it's a civil suit going on. Is that good press? Yes. It's just how you play it up. How are you going to play that press up? How are you going to make that turn for the best, you know, for both teams and not just for one team? And there's some different ways you can twist it up. I'm looking at it as being able to say, yeah, we got your playbook or whatever, but come watch us run the plays better than you did. And that might be wrong, you know, but I'm just saying you got to twist it up so that it can be done. There you go. So my thing is play on words. Play on it. I mean, that's how you get people interested. Once you do get the press, you got to go ahead and go to that article and respond to it. You know, taking one side or another, and sometimes bickering helps. Bickering does help. It does get the media attention that, you know, hey, if they do a story on you, no matter if it's good, bad, or ugly, and there's no responses to that story, then that writer ain't going to write anymore for you. They're not going to do an article on you. So, again, you got to use resources. Got to use resources. So, again, going back to the topic, is any press good press? And I'm going to say yes, it is good press. It's a matter of how you flip it. It just seems like if you have bad news travels a lot faster than good news. And more people are more wanting to watch, you know, bad news. Now, tell television station, it should be called bad news. Because when your local news come on, it's all about bad news. There's 90% bad news and probably 10% of good news. It may be one good, heartfelt story, you know, through an hour session of your local news. Take a look at it. Evaluate it. Look at it and see. Find out how you guys can get in. If you guys want to be the big Billy Badasses of women's football, then push it that way. You know? You got to get out there. You got to push the press. But again, any article about women's football is a good article. Again, if it's a bad article, that's fine. If it's a good article, that's fine. If it's a neutral article, it's fine. Any press is better than no press. And there's, I would say, 85 to 88% of the teams out there get no press. So, again, hire somebody to do it, a PR person, if you're not the one. If you're the one that got to get it done but can't get it done, don't know how to get a press release started. Create internal press releases on individual players. I mean, if you got a doctor on the team, then speak on it, you know. Do a one-page press release on, you know, you got Dr. such and such playing football on your team. Not only is she treating, you know, patients in the hospital, she's treating players on the field, you know. If you got a music producer or a rapper or a firefighter or somebody of that nature, do an internal press release. It would definitely help get some exposure. If you got teachers, if you got professors, again, do an internal press release and send it to their organizations they're part of, be it their sorority, be it associations, clubs, you know, whatever. You've got to tap into that. You've got to tap into that. And so, you know, again, that article came about, and I brought it up, you know, as a topic on the Women's Tackle Football Group.meme board, because that's what our board is all about. Our board is the information board of women's football. And I think I had one reply that thought that I shouldn't publish it. And I think maybe some of the players on those teams probably thought or think that I shouldn't publish it. But it's an article that exists that, you know, that can be picked up from any newspaper. Again, I'm worldwide about women's football. And I get a lot of hits. Anything that come up, women's tackle football, flag football, that's on the internet, I get a buzz. You know, I get an email or something that tells me, hey, this might be talking about something, you know, you might be interested in. And once I get that information, I try to put up at ASAP, no different than a promotional video. You know, again, I got a system on my computer that anytime a women's football video on YouTube or whatever comes up, I get it as soon as it's put up, just about. Within 2 hours, I'm able to get word that there's something that's interesting about women's football up. And I try to go to the meme board and spread the word. It would be nice if we had some of you writers out there to be able to do blogs on the meme board talking about women's football, talking about the things that go on. You know, again, we have the world's largest collection of women's football pictures there is. We have the largest collection of women's football videos in one place that there is. Again, why not bring the media people that you do know and have them join the site? I think there is a, let me go, I think we got a group on here that we're open to any media person that might can give us some advice. I know my girl Jamil Hill from ESPN has made mention of us, the women's tacklefootballgroup.name.com on First Take. So, again, just getting the writers out there that are interested in women's football, hey, if you came to this particular site, you get more insight. Because, again, most of your local writers think that you're just a local team playing local teams. They don't know you're part of a national organization. And that's some of the things that I've been fighting for the last 6 years, that the national organization or the what I want to call it, the governing organization that you play in or the league that you play in have not put emphasis on the league itself and put out enough press releases nationwide to represent all the teams. I'm not saying they haven't attempted that, but that hasn't been their main focus over the last couple of years. And that's been my biggest fight. I'm paying league fees so that we can get national attention, but our league fees have not been catered towards getting that national attention and that draw, because we don't have nobody in those positions of power that have a PR background, that have a writing background, that have a marketing background. And that's been my biggest pet peeve of all, was that we got the money, but we haven't put anybody in place to get the press. I think the IWFL did one hell of a job, you know, pressing, you know, pushing the USA team, Team USA, which was great. I don't know if they had the assistance of USA football behind them, which I'm pretty sure they did. But what happened was a lot of people felt excluded from the program. It wasn't an inclusive situation. So you had, you know, divisions amongst the ranks of women's football. And again, if you played the cards right, I think that could have been the key, or one of the main keys of bringing women's football to the masses. Is being inclusive in that situation instead of being individual about it, even amongst the ranks. And I think I've talked about this when that first started and how it was going to hurt women's football more than help because of the exclusivity of that particular event. But again, if we all would have got together, we could have played on that for a long time to come. And as quick as it happened, as soon as it was over, as you can see, there's no blurts about, you know, the USA taking gold, you know, because nobody else felt a part of it. So why are they going to speak on it? Again, good press, no press, what do you want? So, again, it's how we play the cards on the press that's given to us, how we can flip the story, how we can use the story. You know, I'll give you another example, and it just so happened that my team is involved in it. You know, probably the best media play for women's football took place this past November when NFL Films and ESPN came out and did a special on the Las Vegas Showgirls and Nikki Johnson. Instead of people being jealous of it, I think everyone should have played upon it to make it a strength for their team. Again, flipping the story, because Nikki's story is the same story on all of you guys' team out there. I think that video should have hit the rooftop on YouTube once it was put up there, because it was an accurate story about the wants of women who want to play football. And it was very highlighting in a positive as far as the storyline went. Again, it wasn't your team. Yes, I understand that, but that's press for women's football. There's no way in the world that it should only have, you know, 3,000 hits on YouTube. I think each person that plays women's football should have hit it 100 times just to be hitting it, because numbers speak volume. They don't know where those numbers are coming from, or they repeat. Yes, YouTube would, because they have a survey. But guess what? If that YouTube video had hit a million people, it would be all over the news, just like you see with that, hide your wife, hide your kids, hide your wife, hide your kids. You know, a stupid song got like 60 million hits and became a YouTube sensation just because it was funny, or just because it was intriguing, or just because it was stupid, however you want to look at it. But the fact is, we have not had a platform that was our platform, or one of our platforms. And I just gave you two examples, USA Football, and then the ESPN NFL Network program. We're not using the tools that we have to make the press understand that we are here. We're not using the press that we have, i.e. Lingerie Football League did. They had something to sell. TNA, sex. You know, this year it was toned down in comparison to what it was in the past due to the fact that there were some, quote, other real football players involved in the Lingerie League. They knew that they had to have a good product to be on MTV. That's why they inquired about players from the IWFL, the WFA, and the WSFL, and whatever other league that's out there. Because that was their time to shine. They had to have a good product, and this was the best product that they had in the last 6 years of doing this thing. This is the third year of the actual league. But the product was worth TV watching. So, again, use the tools that you have to get the press to come. Again, I just used three examples now of how we could have flipped, you know, the situation. Stop being jealous of others and learn to join and reap the benefits of what they're doing if you participate to some extreme into what's going on. You know, like I said, I get the rumbling, I get the ranting, I get the preaching, because, again, I'm sincere about this. I mean, it's just like my song, you know. Don't question who I am, because God knows, because it's coming from the heart. That's what this women's football thing is all about. I ain't getting paid. I ain't made no money off of this thing. I'm losing money weekly in women's football, because I just love it. It's my passion. I love coaching. I love teaching. I love talking, as you can see. That's why you're watching four quarters of Coach Lee, because he loves talking. You know what I'm saying? That's what I do. That's what it's all about. So, again, you know, get some press, you know. Work on somebody else's press. Piggyback off of somebody else. You see a good press release, copy it. Plug in your name, your information in the same article. Is that plagiarizing? Yeah, if you're in college, but we ain't getting no grades for it. So go ahead, plagiarize, copyrize, quadruple rise. Just do something to get the word out on the street. Got to. 2011, we got to do it. If it don't happen in 2011, ladies and gentlemen, trust me. I'm like, what's that madam that predicts the future? I've been pretty good at predicting what was going to take place here and there for the last 6 years on this football. The good, the bad, the ugly. I told it before it was done. We got to get out there and impress the issue. We got to press the press. We got to impress the best. You know, we got to do what we got to do. We got to get out there. But anyway, I'm getting dry on that. So let me move on. Quarter number two. Check this out, y'all. There is new teams, new leagues around the world. I was just in talks with the Canadian Football League, a women's football. Let me get the correct acronym real quick. But again, like I said, I'm always doing research. I'm always getting quick emails and tabs about what's going on in the world of women's football. And let's see. Where is that? I had it in here. Canadian football. I'm going to get it in a second. Sorry about that, folks. But, you know, this is live, Coach Lee. There we go. It's called the Western Women's Canadian Football League. You can go to WWCFL.com. Again, that's WWCFL.com. Of course, I ain't got to say www.WWCFL.com. But go there. That is a new league that's sprung up this past November. Again, Western Women's Canadian Football League. I've already been in talks with all teams. Again, building that relationship up, inviting them over to the Women's Tackle Football Group.neen.com board, and also setting up games, you guys. Like I said, I'm an advocate of playing as many games as possible. Their season starts a tad bit later than ours due to the fact that their winter is a little bit longer than ours. But you got a team in Calgary, the Calgary Raid. You got Canton Valkyrie, Edmond. Man, my pronunciation is killing it, but they the Storm. They got the Lethbridge Steel, Matola Fearless, Regina Riot. You go? Which one? Yeah, oh, you gone for good. Okay, no problem. I got it. I'm going to dump that tonight when I clean out the last room. No, anything pot-wise, I watch. All righty. All right, like I said, we are live. Y'all know I'm live. I'm all the way live here on Women's Four Corners of Coach Lee. But anyway, we got teams. There's six teams in Canada that will be playing this year. Again, I hope you go over to Western Women's Canadian Football League, or what did I say, WWCFL.com. And like I said, they are getting it rocking and rolling. And this is not including the Montreal Blitz, who are in the IWFL. You know, again, these are other teams. And I think the World Cup of Women's Football helped spawn a lot of these new teams coming up. I know I'm in close contact with teams over in Germany, Frankfurt, Dusseldorf. They have their internal leagues there. And again, they got mopped up by the USA team, and they're starting to deliver. They're starting to put together teams. Talked to the commissioner of this league, and he was definitely interested in possibly setting up some bowl games for some of you teams out there that are looking for extra games. Please introduce yourself to these wonderful teams across the border. You got teams down in Mexico. I know there's two teams in Mexico. I don't know. One's the Black Widows and one's the Cobras, if I'm not mistaken. So, again, teams are popping up left and right worldwide. But, again, if we're not tapping into our resources, if we're not inviting them or going over to play them, it won't grow, you guys. It won't grow. But it's amazing how teams are just popping up. And I talk to sponsors left and right who are like, wow, you guys are the fastest growing sport for women. I don't think you guys realize that. That women's tackle football is the fastest growing sport in the last 10 years. Getting participants. It's a collision sport. But boy, people want to be involved. Other women want to be involved in tackle football. And like I said, they are popping up all over the world. I was at the Sevens event here in Vegas, which is a world international cup of rugby. And to find out how many women actually play rugby around the world was amazing. We had teams from New Zealand, Samoa, Korea, China, Australia, South Africa, you know, playing, you know, rugby. And rugby is just as physical, if not more physical, than the women's football that I've seen. When I went to Sevens, I was like, man, I was trying to recruit every woman in the world to come be a showgirl, you know. And it's nuts. But you know what? It's growing in popularity, one, because it's cheap to play rugby. You just need to, you know, put your little hat on your head, a little leather hat and a T-shirt, and you're good to go with long, stripy socks and some cleats and a big, fat ball, and you're good. You know, but what I'm trying to get at is there's a lot more women around the world that want to be more physical, that want to be involved in physical activity, a physical sport. And, again, as I was talking to representatives from around the world and handing out our media book and my contact and my business card, they were like, wow, we didn't know that women played tackle football. I mean, we just played rugby. You know, we play that year-round, but they play tackle football too. And I'm like, yes. So, again, I got, you know, a team in New Zealand that I'm in contact with. They're going to try to go back and put together a women's football team. The Samoan team are going to, you know, go back and play. Because Samoa, American Samoa is the fastest-growing areas of men's football. A lot of your new NFL superstars that come from American Samoa. But they didn't know that women play. And now can you imagine them women playing football? Because them some big women. You didn't hear me use the F word. I said big. Them some big boned women. And you get some of them big boned women out there, you definitely create a line, D-line. I mean, they strong too. So, again, tapping into new resources around the world. I know there's been some international players that have played here in the States. I know of a Korean player. Chinese player, and we just got to send them. We got to get them over here, and possibly do a live-in situation, like a foreign exchange, student exchange type of situation. They come over here and learn the game. You know, they send three or four of their players to come learn the game and then take it back. You know, I was invited to come out and coach the German league for fall. I was asked to run a football camp out in Germany because, again, they don't like to get their butts whooped. And I'm taking up on that. And like I said, they're going to pay for 10 days of me being out in Germany, Frankfurt, Germany. They're going to bring all the teams in Germany, women football players, and we're going to conduct a football camp, which is great. And, you know, of course, I'll be looking for some other coaches that might want to be involved. Again, all expenses paid as of right now. We're looking at late September, early October for that particular camp. I'll get more details as it comes. But again, what are you going to do to be the ambassador of women's football? You know, again, you got countries that want to learn the game. Are you open to you know, two or three players come in and live with some of your players or whatever for a season. Again, open the doors. Let's see what we can do. Let's see if we can bring this world of football together. And so that when we do have the next World Cup, we do have another World Cup, that these teams can be more competitive. And like I said, I praise the Canadian teams in the league. I mean, they lost to, I think, the USA team like 75-0. You know, open your doors. Open your doors. Allow those to come in and play on the teams and take that experience back with them. And because it's only going to help. I give you a good example. The NBA opened its doors to international play. And they say, you know, they were beating up on the USA teams. Because, again, foreign countries take what you give them and break it down to a science for them to be better. They're not great players, but they get team players. And they break it down to a science, team-wise, not individual. That's why we went ahead and went with the NBA players, because we're sending the best of our best players over. And even when we sent our best, it came out bronze medal 1 year, because the fact is we got to play together. The one thing that other countries have showed is that we got to play together as a team and not as individuals. So, again, for those who are looking for more information, again, check out international. Go to Google. Put in there women's tackle football worldwide. Put in there, you know, different countries. See what's going on, you guys. Investigate. You know what I'm saying? Do your research. And if you can help, help. If not, then get on it. Because you're rocking four quarters of Coach Lee here on Blog Talk Radio. Continues, that is. Because you got to add the continue. Because if you go to Blog Talk Radio, you're going to be with BJ and the crew. If you put continues, you're going to be with me. And me. And me. So, again, you know, a lot of listeners out there, which is great. I'm loving it. Everything is awesome. But again, open your doors to international play. Because there are women out there that are just hitting me up left and right, email, wondering, do we have an exchange program? They want some of our players to go over and play in their league. And again, you'll get, you know, housed and food and stuff like that. But again, I mean, I think Coach Bartley had an opportunity to go play some football overseas and actually got paid. I mean, would have got paid for it, but I don't know if anybody jumped on that wagon. Whew, sorry about that. I got a yarn. But I got to talk to Coach Bartley and find out, you know, did anybody jump on it? I know they were looking for quarterbacks and running backs to go overseas. But again, there's some connections out there. If you want to elevate the game, then we got to get over there. We got to let them over here and participate. You know? But anyway, I'm going to move on because time flies so fast when you're rocking four quarters every Monday night. You can always dial in if you got something to add, something to say, or something to disagree against. You can dial 347-826-7278. Press pound and 101 and pound, and guess what? Booyah! You'll be in the house with Coach Lee. So if I ain't got nobody on the line, I don't have anybody on the line. Let's move on. Quarter number three. Got another email. I think I touched on this topic. I'm going to go through a couple emails. Coach Lee, we're a new team in the league. We are about to come upon our first season, and we are looking at having a ref crew. How do we go about attaining a referee crew for our home games? Well, the bottom line is this. Your league should have someone in charge of the refereeing of the league. From that, you need to find a association, be it high school, be it college, junior college, or even just a referee association in your city, town, or state, and pass that information on to them. If you don't have that information, I mean, send it. If you don't have the information to send, I mean, you don't have no one to send it to, then you need to inquire to those associations and let them know that you have football games on these particular dates and you're looking for a 5, 6, 7 person crew to work your games. What will be the cost? and here are the rules. Each league should have a set of rules that you can just email to them, saying, hey, that we go by NFL rules with a few college rules, or we go by college rules with a few high school rules, or we go by high school rules, and they need to study them up. They need to be someone, don't use your cousin or your uncle or your auntie to ref the games. Again, referees are an integral part of the football, and, you know, you got to represent well. So, again, the easiest thing to do is go to your local coaches association, your local referee association, be it high school. You can even go down to Part 1 association, which will less, at least they study from the next level of association, and there's another level above that. Go to your local community colleges, find out who they use. That would be an ideal situation. Using community college refs and college referees if possible. High school should be the bare minimum. And go from there. Again, if you have any questions that you want to shoot over to me at Coach Lee here with 4-4 for Coach Lee, you can always send them to Las Vegas Showgirls with a Z at the end at yahoo.com. Hit me at the Women's Tackle Football Group.neem.com. Just go to my Neem box, Deion Lee. You can hit me on Facebook under Deion A. Lee. If you're looking me up on Facebook, I think that's abbreviated LV Showgirl. And you can always dial my number and just ask me the question straight up, 702-764-8878. Once again, that's 7888. Ooh, yeah, too many numbers, too many things to rattle off. Another email I got, uniforms. Coach, is it a league requirement that you have a home and away uniform? Again, another subject that I talked about once before. If I was a new team just starting, what I would do would get away uniforms because most teams have home uniforms, and I would just use one set, the light uniforms, and play in those home and away to save a little money. I think most leagues are asking of each team to have a home and away set, but the easiest thing to do is inquire with your commissioners, your regional reps, and league representatives to find out. But, yes, you should have a home and away jersey, but if you don't, you should have at least a odd-colored uniform that most people don't wear. Your reds, your blues, and your whites are predominant colors across the league. And the blues are predominant. Hold on one second. Am I back? I'm not sure yet. Coach, hit me up if you can hear me. Okay, thank you. I'm back. All right, cool. That was the wife. Hey, you know, when the wife calls, I got to stop everything. That includes my show, 4-4 Coach Lee. But again, going back to the topic. Uniforms, yes, you should have available set two sets. You know, but again, worst case scenario, just get a white uniform and then just let the team. You know, you communicate with the other teams and let them and find out what uniforms they got or what their color scheme is. You should probably get away with it for one season or two. Here's another question that I had. League ball, what is the difference between the IWFL ball and the WFA ball, as far as the ball is concerned? I know that the colors are different, but are they the same size ball? I'm going to say no. I participated in both leagues. I want to say that the IWFL ball is a Nike rubber composite ball, not a leather composite, which is the WFA ball. And there is a difference. There is a difference in the texture of the ball. The IWFL ball is more of a rubber ball. So if you went and got a street basketball, Volt is a good example. Most of us play with Volt or even Spalding has those balls. But it's more of a rubber ball. It's a narrow ball, too. I know that my quarterback liked that ball to throw because it was narrow and longer. So it was like one of those the Nerf spiral throwing gizmos. But it was a good ball. I mean, like I said, it was patent for the women's game. The WFA ball is a Spalding leather composite, which is a little bit better gripping ball. It's actually a fatter ball, meaning that it's a little bit more difficult to grip around the middle for a woman who most likely would have smaller hands than a guy. They're decent balls. The red, white, and blue ball looks pretty if you throw in a spiral. It definitely looks ugly when you throw a duck. I know that the WFA had two balls. They had the official league ball, then they had the one with the spiral that looked like the old arena ball. Yes. Yes. I'm actually, you need something? Okay.
They have
another
bus. Okay.
Can
we add the half an hour?
No, I can't do that.
No, for them to
stay.
Instead of,
you know. I can't do that. It
got to
be down by
10.
Yeah. Because okay. I'm staying. I'm clocking out at 8 okay. because I don't have a staff to be here.
Oh.
So I'm just hanging out. So at 10, we got to be.
Okay. Another.
Just clean up the best that we can. Yes, as long as not any stains and stuff like that, we should be okay.
Okay.
And I'll get a vacuum to clean up the.
Okay. And also,
drivers
given to the returning to the account, right?
Yes, I'm looking into that because it should have been returned to you already.
I know. Yeah, I know. Not for me, it's for them.
Right. We'll make sure that we get that taken care of.
Thanks.
No problem. All right. As you can see, I am live. I do have issues that I got to deal with here at the rec center. But anyway, the ball, you know, like a ball is a ball is a ball. A ball is going to go where it's going to go, no matter how it looks. I mean, the AFL used to have a night ball. You see a white ball, like glow in the dark. We went with the brown ball. You know, each league, no matter what it is, men or women, semi-pro, whatever, trying to get an image. You know, I like the WSFL ball. It's a black and white ball. It reminds me of the old AFL ball. I don't know if it glows in the dark as much, but it used to be, I remember the Rams playing with a glow-in-the-dark yellow ball on Monday night when they played night games. So, again, you know, it's a marketing thing. That's a branding thing. You know, that's it, to each their own. But, again, the balls are of quality, and that's great. I like the fact that they're small. I know I was working out a deal to make an actual women's football itself, not a junior size, not a top one size ball, but an actual women's size ball. I actually did some molding of a couple of balls from another company. It didn't pan out. They didn't want to follow through on the whole situation. But that was Boston? I forgot the name of the ball company already. This was 3 years ago when I was trying to work some magic for the leagues, but trying to create a women's football just for women's football. But the junior size ball would do. It would do well. Another question from a player. Coach, what is the normal number of coaches on a football team? Hold on. Yeah.
The reservation
want to
know if we have a
back to
the next.
Yeah, I go get it right now.
Okay, thanks.
All righty.
Bye-bye.
Okay, as you can see, I got stuff going on, but I'm going to finish up that question. There is no minimum or no maximum number of let me get my keys. There's no minimum or maximum number of coaches. A good coaching staff is going to have at least four coaches. You know, four coaches in minimum will be a good coaching staff, up to 12 to 14 to 16 coaches. It all depends. It depends on your budget. Depends on, you know, what they want to get done. It's a matter of just making it happen. You know, if you want to, you know, for me, I stick with four. I'll bring it to you guys. All right. I normally have anywhere between 4 to 6 coaches. You know, you would like to have one for each position, which would be, what, 9? nine coaches. You need a kicking coach, a linebacker coach, DB coach, a D-line coach, an O-line coach, a running back coach, a wide receiver coach, and everything. Hold on. Can I get them to use your vacuum? Because they got a room that needs to be vacuumed. Okay. So, again, it all depends on the budget and things of that nature. And, you know, again, that's up to you as a coaching staff, you know, and also an organization that might have money or might not have any money. But the bottom line is you should have at least three coaches. Have I seen the team get away with two? Yes. If they're well organized and things of that nature, you can get away with two. But it's not a good number. You know what I'm saying? I don't like to have women standing around at practice, you know, if they don't have to. I like to do drills. But then there's going to be times that you do stand around and practice. And that will be your, here you go. All righty. And that will be your, you know, when you're doing teamwork, you know, if you got 11 on offense, 11 on defense, that's 22 players. And whatever's over 22, you know, is going to be kind of standing around, hopefully looking, rotating a couple plays and doing this offensively and defensively. So, again, it is what it is, and let's see what else we got. Let me make an announcement real quick. I got to make an announcement real quick.
Attention, on the rec center. The rec center will be closing in 10 minutes. The rec center will be closing in 10 minutes. Please finish up, clean up, and do things that you got to do, and then head out the front door. Thank you so much.
All right. Sorry about that. But again, we can get it done. We can get it done. One last question. Coach Lee, you talked about team fundraising, teams not having money. What is the average cost that teams are charging players? Wow. I can't give you an average. I can give you what I heard and what I know. I tell you what I know for myself. My players on my team, they pay a $250 fee to play, and then they got to go fundraise $250. So, yes, I'm paying $500, but basically the effort is going to be in fundraising. What's up? Everything good?
I got the third
back. Doing what?
They want to know why they coach don't show up.
Who is it? Is it threat?
Good.
Yeah. That's what you get when you get volunteers. You get what you pay for. You get what you pay for, right? That's what that's all about.
They want to know what
this was. I told them up next week. We got two more practices left.
That's good.
Yeah.
Not counting today.
We got next Monday and the Monday after that, and we're done. So, we'll be all right. I just let her know. I'll come talk to her after this. I'm almost done.
All right.
So where was I at? I forgot, man. Boy, everybody wants to hit me at 8 o'clock. Yeah.
Hey, they need a red cross, a rag.
All right.
Okay.
All righty. Sorry about that. But what's the cost? Again, $250 to play for me. $250 in fundraisers. Does that money got to come out your pocket? No. Is there a way you can fundraise all of it? You can. So if you go on my website, I have an option where players can ask their friends and family to actually.
Where'd they go? The volunteer. Huh? What did you step in?
Yeah.
Jeepers.
Again, they can donate and sponsor a player. So I guess everybody got that. But $250 to play, that includes travel, everything else. You're just responsible for your helmet and uniform because you get to keep those. And here we go. Hey, guys, you can wet those up.
Yeah, you can wet them.
All right. So, again, we can do that. scholarship fundraiser. I'm just getting all jacked up here. But anyway, $250 plus $250 is fundraising. And then I've also heard that some teams are charging $1,500. And that's not even including uniforms and travel. So, again, that's what I've heard. I don't know for a fact, but those are the numbers that I'm working with. So if you put that on the average, you're looking at about $750 per player. You know, you're talking about $750 per player on the average. Is that good? Is it bad? Like I tell you guys, there is no owner that's a millionaire in women's football. So until there are millionaire owners, the women will be paying. It's just a matter of what you're going to be paying. Is there other options? Is there different programs that you don't have to come out of pocket? And that's where the ownership has to be creative. And I think that's the next step for women's football. Again, it doesn't have to come out your pocket, but I think the ownership, management, marketing people have to be creative. Again, there's other opportunities. You know, each of us know businesses out there. We solicit businesses. We go there and spend our money. So if you had a nail shop, why not ask the person that manicures is doing your nails, hey, why don't you put an ad in our book for $100? You know, blah, blah, blah. And guess what? If a player came to me with an ad, they automatically get 20% of that go towards their fees or their fundraising aspect. So, again, a player can get $250 sponsorships and walk away with 20% of that, you know, which is $100 towards their fees. And that's not bad. You know, again, that's $500 more than what I would have brought in as an owner of the team or the marketing person. So why not kick back, you know, 20% to the player who went out and hustled that up? You know, the more the merrier. So, again, be creative when coming up to fees. Is that a legitimate number to run a budget for a football team that has to travel? No, not even close. Again, I require our lookout is this way. Our budget is $75,000 to run Las Vegas Showgirls. That means travel, fields, marketing, everything that we do is about $75,000. And we are requiring 35 to 40 players to fundraise and come up with one-third of that budget, which is about $20,000, $25,000. Okay? That's where the 500 comes in. We're still responsible for the other 50 as owners of the Las Vegas Showgirls. So, again, there's not many revenue opportunities where we're going to even make $20,000, $30,000. I mean, even if I sold, you know, 100 season passes at $35, that's only $3,500. I would have to sell, like, you know, 1,000 season passes to make $35,000. And we're not averaging 1,000 people to a game and repeaters. But I know we're coming close to the game, I mean, to that time. You know, four quarters of Coach Lee is always rocking. And I know the music is about to cut in at any time. And like I said, you rocking four quarters with Coach Lee, and this is how it go. Again, if you want to drop a question, you can hit me up at LasVegasShowgirls@yahoo.com. You can hit me at Women's Tackle Football Group.meme.com. Just go to my page. You can hit me on Facebook. You can hit me at Women's Football Camp@yahoo. I mean, there's a whole bunch of ways you can hit me, or you can just hit me at 702-768-8878. Is that my number? Man. Yeah, 8878. That sounds like me. But anyway, hit the music. I am done, and it is time to roll. I am loving it. I am loving it. And you hit me every Monday night here on Blog Talk Radio.